Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I've a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado, on this 17th day of September 2009, a very special day indeed, for we will be talking with the remarkable Debbie Reynolds, one of America's most talented and beloved entertainers. Our regular listeners know we've paid tribute to Debbie in two previous shows, as well as to her Singing in the Rain movie, which just happens to be my all-time favorite film. But Debbie's been busy doing live shows and other engagements, so she hasn't been able to be here until now. Needless to say, we're delighted and honored that she could be with us. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Debbie.
Well, thank you, Betty Jo. I think it's a wonderful title, Movie Addicts. I have been my whole life.
I know you have. You're probably the number one movie addict. So you definitely.
I am.
You definitely.
I'm the biggest collector of all time of memorabilia, and I see all the movies and have since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
I know you have, and we are so grateful that you have taken an interest in preserving so much of Hollywood's memorabilia, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. We're just so glad you could be here.
I'm delighted I could be here.
You have so many fans on Blog Talk Radio. But before we get started, I'd like to call on my co-host, Jazz Shaw, and because he's definitely a movie addict, too, and I'll just bring him on right now so that he can say hi to you. And he also has the first question that we wanted to ask you. So, Jazz, you're on.
I know, and I just about fainted after this. Found out this was really going to happen, so I'm glad I'm still awake and able to actually do this. Welcome to the show, Debbie. This is an amazing honor, really.
Well, thank you. I love your name, Jazz. Whoa.
Oh, yeah, well, it was, from childhood, but I don't want to take up the whole show on me since we finally got you. So let's start off with something that Betty Jo was just talking about. If you could you give us the latest scoop on what's going on with the Hollywood Motion Picture Museum project?
Well, we're working on it. We have been since in the 1970s I started a collection, and it's going to be down in Hollywood. Down in Dollywood, rather, so Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and we're working on it. We have the building built, but now we have the banking problems, and all the financial conditions right now. But we're supposed to be going in 10, I don't know if things are very difficult right now, but that's what we're praying for.
And what was the date on that?
This is 2009.
Oh,
and I'm talking about 2010.
Well, could you? We've had a very thorough explanation of the types of things that will be on display there in the Hollywood Museum, but because it was Todd Fisher, I think you know the guy who was on the show.
Yes, my son, right. Well, we collected only Academy Award-winning films, and I bought the entire set, meaning the furniture and the costumes of all Oscar-winning films from the silent screen era right up to today. So we have a huge collection. It's the largest private collection. We have Marilyn Monroe's subway costume and the ruby red slippers, and we have all Ben-Hur, and we have all the Marlon Brando and Barbara Streisand and Grace Kelly and Ava Gardner and Showboat and all these great Bridge Over River Kwai. I just bought everything that was to me my favorite. Everything of Bette Davis and Irene Dunne and Clark Gable, and it just goes on and on.
Oh, I saw your first display of the costumes when you had the museum in Las Vegas. My husband and I were the first two members of the public that were admitted into the museum, and that, of course, that was a small museum, but I just absolutely loved the way they were showcased, and then that virtual reality presentation that you did there in Las Vegas. Will there be something like that at the new location?
Oh, yes, much, much larger, you know, with 25, that was only 7,000 square feet. The new location is 25,000 square feet. We'll have three theaters and very large screens for all the film clips, which we have permission and already have them all cut. And everything's ready to go. We're just being held up now by all this banking situation and the problems that are existing today economically. So we're all suffering from that indecisiveness or decisiveness. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, it's a problem, and it's too bad, because then the public is delayed to get to see their favorite objects.
Yes. Well, are you doing any kind of fundraising that could
help?
Well,
we don't know. I'm not national. You know, I don't... I would love to know if I were better organized to know how to do that, but I'm not of that brain that was left out on my talent book.
Jeez, I'd love to jump in and help with that, but I only know how to fundraise for politicians.
Well, I'm not a politician. That's why I'm not successful in the sense of raising money. I work for mental health, and I work raising money for children for mental health. But as far as the museum, I haven't gotten into that. We were trying. We had the people had already promised to build the building, and they did. So really all we have to do is raise the money now for the interior. And we had that all in line also until this recent development. But all the costumes are ready to go. We just acquired the Audrey Hepburn Ascot dress, and we have Rex Harrison's dress to go with it. And Givenchy wants to borrow it for Paris. But I told him no. I said, we have to keep it in America right now. We're trying to keep everything here and not have to sell.
Right. Well, if anyone wants to help with that situation, would Todd Fisher be the one to contact?
Well, Todd Fisher is my son, you know, and it's I don't really have anything lined up for, you know, making contact. Online thing is called Debbie Abadaba. It's called Abadaba, which is a record I made. Abadaba.com. Abadaba.com.
Now, maybe if you would sing that Abadaba, that would help to remember.
No, it's easier. Well, I'd rather sing Tammy. I like that one better.
Oh, all right. We'll take any song that you would sing.
I hear the cottonwoods whispering above. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. The old hooty owl, hooty hoos to the dove. Send your money to the movie, my love.
Oh, great. that'll bring in the bucks. That is such a lovely
and
song.
And we can dispense with the What's Everybody's Favorite Movie one, because she just hit mine. So.
Yes,
right. Thank you.
You were so much better than Sandra Dee. I wish you'd done the rest of them.
Yes, well, I know, but I was expecting my children, Carrie and Todd, so I couldn't make them, and they wanted to go right away. You know how the studios are, so they decided to make them with Sandra. So I said, fine, go ahead. So I had my children instead, which I much prefer.
Well, it's a better long-term
investment.
I know, and you're very, very proud of them. They're wonderful, and I saw Tammy when it was first released. I just loved you in it, and I loved Leslie Nielsen in it, too. But I remember when you visited Pueblo, Colorado for the tribute to women, you told some interesting stories about Leslie Nielsen. He was all drama back then, wasn't he?
Well, he was fresh from New York, as Jazz lives there. Uh-huh. And Jazz, my daughter, is opening next week in Wishful Drinking, her new show, next week in the Arena Theater. Yeah. Next week she'll be opening. So we're very excited about that. And back to Leslie Nielsen, he came from the actor's studio and he just started doing Tammy, which was a story, a simple little story with a goat, and Walter Brennan and Debbie Reynolds was really corny, and he didn't want to do it. So he was kind of a little depressed about doing that picture. And I said to him, well, you should like comedy because comedy will do well by you. He said, no, I'm a serious actor. And I have to laugh now because after Sirius, he's turned to Naked Gun and Naked Edge or whatever, and he's a scream now and making a lot of money on comedy.
And with the younger generation these days, if you ask them, I guarantee you everybody knows him for the physical comedy that he does, and half the people wouldn't even remember that's the same Leslie Nielsen that starred with you in
Tammy
and the Bachelor.
No, and he didn't like it either, so it's okay. So now he likes comedy.
Well, he ought to, and you gave him very good advice. Well, I can hardly wait going back to your Hollywood Museum. When it opens, I just think it will be such a great trip for movie buffs and movie addicts. So we're going to be sending you extra special good vibes for that. But now I'd like to ask you about Singing in the Rain, because everyone knows it's my favorite film of all time. And I was wondering how that movie ranks on your list of favorites.
Well, I love the movie. I think it's outlasted everything, and it's so good, and it's so long-lasting. You know, it's timeless. The story is very simple and sweet and charming, and mainly the singing and the dancing is brilliant, and that's to Gene Kelly's credit.
Oh. Now you worked with Gene Kelly, and a lot of people have described him as the hardest working performer in Hollywood. And I was just wondering, was that your impression of him? And did you pick up any things from him? What was it like working with Gene Kelly back at that time in your career?
Well, Gene Kelly was hard working. Every dancer, Fred Astaire, Sid Charisse, Eleanor Powell, Ann Miller, were all hard working. There is no other way to dance. The only way you can dance is to sweat and blood, and you give your all. And so I can't say, what do I remember, that Gene was a taskmaster, but he had to be, because I had to learn. I knew nothing about dancing. I was 17 years old, and Gene was the director, and Stanley Donen, but he didn't really direct me. Gene did, and Donald O'Connor was brilliant, so I had to learn how to keep up with these two great guys. So I had an awful lot to learn, and did, and Gene Kelly was a great teacher. He was tough, but he was great.
He was a movie musical icon, as far as I'm concerned. And you really gave those two, Donald O'Connor and Gene Kelly, a run for their money in that movie, though, with the dancing. Wow, that good morning number.
Wonderful numbers, and very hard numbers, but terrific, exciting numbers. And Donald did Make 'em Laugh, and he ran up a wall, and Gene Kelly did a great dance sequence with Sid Charisse, and everybody in it was sensational.
You know, Betty Jo, we should drag James in here before we eat up the whole show.
Oh, I think James is probably just champing at the bit here, so thank you for the suggestion. Debbie, we're going to see if we can get James on the line here, who's the film historian who lives in beautiful La Jolla. James, are you on the line?
I certainly am.
Said everything right. I hope, James, since you're the historian, that's what I call myself, so let's yell at each other about what we know about movies.
Very good. Well, I'll referee.
You're the historian.
I make myself think I'm a historian, but, you know, I'm an old-timer who is as crazy about movies as Betty Jo and Jazz and you.
Yes.
you know, so I grew up with MGM Films and you. So, you know, I feel like you're my sister.
Well,
aww,
thank you. Certainly I'm an equally addict person about movies.
That's, I get the vibes for sure. Well, James, do you have any questions for Debbie?
Oh, I have 1,000 of them, but I'll ask.
You're allowed
you.
Two. Okay.
They'll allow me two.
Right.
Ms. Burbank, why do you think the Hollywood musical waned in popularity?
Well, because at the time television came in, that was in 1948, and when television came in, which everybody said, oh, it's just a little black box, and of course how wrong they were, the interest went to TV, went to CBS, NBC, ABC, all the four big networks, and movie stars were not allowed on television because they thought it would go away. Were they wrong? And we weren't allowed to even go on television, and if we simply weren't allowed, and if we did, we were dropped. Like, in other words, they fired us.
Oh.
So we were not allowed. You know, it was very, very
wow.
strict. The rules against television, because they thought it was just stupid, and they didn't have any very far. They were all very narrow-minded about it.
Oh, and so you think that that's primarily the reason the musicals just sort of died away. I mean, every once in a while we get one now, but
you had the Ed Sullivan Show. Ed Sullivan Show came on. The Red Skelton Show came on. You know, different wonderful musical shows came on, variety shows on television. And there was the big money dried up. Also, Congress passed a law that theaters could not release their own films. And so there were major laws created at that time in 48 against film distribution. And it really hurt the movie industry. And they lost millions and millions of dollars. And so that was the downfall of what we call the golden age of Hollywood.
And the musicals were really big budget extravaganzas, though, right? And isn't it kind
of
hard to pull something
million.
Like that off for TV, you know, in those days?
Well, it wasn't. They didn't do storylines. They just did variety shows, and they didn't have a big budget. Movies were $5 million, $6 million, which today they're now $20 million. But in the old days, they were not really that. It wasn't that large. I mean, $5 and $6 million is not a lot. Sound of Music, the last one made, and that was, I think, you know, 13 to 17, I can't remember. But that was way later, you know, when all the really major films of musical films era was over. That was in the 50s.
Right, and that is so sad because those were the greatest films. James, does that make sense to you what Debbie said about the...
Well, Debbie is absolutely correct in everything she said. I was checking her.
I know exactly who and who ran each studio. It was Mr. Mayer and it was Mr. Zanuck. And, you know, I know who it was, and I met with them, and I met... as they kept selling pieces of the land off, I would go to the presidents and say, you shouldn't sell the land. You should just open it as an amusement park. It'll be a hit. We'll just put a star at each turnstile, and as the people come in, they get to see stars, and you just open all the different lots and let them see what you already have.
Well,
nobody listened to me.
Yeah. That's true, because MGM had such a huge back lot, two lots, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, they had five, as a matter of fact.
Five sections, and now it's just a housing development.
Well, yes, because they're stupid, and they're very narrow-minded, and all they are is real estate developers.
That makes me so sad, because I am the world's most avid Hollywood musical fan.
It's already done and lost and in the past. So you can't live the past. You just have to say, look at the pictures that are being made now, and enjoy what's happening now. At least it's still going, and television is flourishing, so we should be happy for that.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. If we go to movies other than musicals, which that's hard for me to do because I love musicals so much. But James, I think you had another question, but not necessarily about a musical.
No, it's not about a musical. It's about when you worked with Albert Brooks and Mother. What was that experience like?
Well, I was very fortunate to get to do it. Albert Brooks didn't really want me, but my daughter Carrie said, why don't you try my mother out for that part? And Albert said, because she's too big for life, she's an entertainer. And Carrie said, well, but she's an actress. He didn't really think I was right for it, but he interviewed me for it and had me read a couple of scenes, and he thought he could save me and make me good enough. He says, you'll work out. I'll direct you, so you'll never be better than you are in Mother. And I thought he did.
I think so, too. Oh, you were wonderful in that.
Oh, you were just fantastic in that. And when Todd was on our show, he talked about how when he was watching the movie or reading the script or something, that the character's name is Beatrice in that with you're having trouble with the cell phones and, you know, technology.
Oh, yeah, I still can't work them.
Welcome to the club. That's why I need Nikki and Jazz and James and and Debbie.
Oh, me too. I have everybody around me can do all the online, e-line and all that. I can't. I'm not very good. I'm not very good at any of it.
I feel so much better now. We have another. Well, James, can you stay on the line for the rest of the show?
Oh, absolutely. I love Debbie, and I wouldn't abandon her.
Oh,
well,
great.
Thank you,
well,
James. And if you have a guest room, I'll be down.
I do have one, and I'm cleaning it right now. I'm putting new sheets on.
Good, and I can watch the whales when the whales come by.
They're just down the block.
I
love
she
it.
She dropped into the middle of the Debbie Reynolds fan club here.
You're all fit for your La Jolla.
Well, Jazz, you could always get a cheap ticket from New York and come and join James.
Yes.
I'll sleep in a sleeping bag. You can have the bed.
You know, that works for me.
We'll have a wonderful time.
Well, save a place for me, too.
Well, we'll get a blow-up. We'll get a blow-up bed.
Well,
okay, that'll work. I'll sleep on a chair, so that's okay. We have another caller, and he's very eager to talk with you because it is one of your young fans. In fact, he's only 19 years old, and it's Jordan Whelan, and I'm going to put him on the line now. He was so helpful in the Singing in the Rain tribute that we did on our show. So, Jordan, are you there?
I am.
Well,
hi,
Jordan.
Hi again. Yeah, I just want to echo what Betty Jo said, actually, because as she knows, Singing in the Rain is also my favorite film, and I think Betty Jo and I, we probably, if we combined the total number of times we've seen that movie, we'd probably be into the 100s, I'm guessing.
Wow.
I think you're right.
I've seen it a lot, too, but Debbie, I had just two really quick questions for you. First of all, what would be your advice for people my age who are really trying to, you know, get into the Hollywood business in this day and age? And secondly, you've been talking about the films, recent films of this era, and I was wondering maybe if you had a couple favorites of yours that have been released maybe within the past decade or so.
Well, it's tough for me. They don't make musicals, so it's really, and I travel 42 weeks a year, so I see a lot of films on airplanes, you know, when mm-hmm. they play films. I saw the Clint Eastwood with the whatever it was, the title has gone out of my head. But
Gran Torino?
Yeah, I love that. I enjoyed that. Johnny Depp is one of my favorites. So
My heart.
Yeah, whatever he does, I love. And DiCaprio, I love him. I think he's a darling new actor. And there's some wonderful young talents. Renee Schwartz, she's got the wildest last name I've ever. Schwarzenegger.
Zellweger.
Just kills me. You know, in the old days, if we had a funny last name, we had to change it.
Right.
My real name is Mary Frances Reynolds. They didn't like Mary. They didn't like Frances, so they named me Debbie. And most at Rock Hudson, they didn't like his name. They didn't like Tab Hunter's name. We all got new names. But today you get to keep your name, but, of course, we can't pronounce it.
Right. And it's so long to be on the title page, too.
Yeah, John Wayne's name was Marion, and that didn't sound manly enough back in the day.
And it didn't. No. I think they were right. So I still think some of the names today are questionable, but, that you know, I'm from the old school.
Yes, and I am, too, and I'm wondering if you could answer Jordan when he asks about any advice for young people who think about going into
Well, I think television is the only way to go in, and if you're on stage, if you have talent, you have to just appear anywhere and everywhere in order to develop the talent that you have and get in front of an audience. And then, you know, that's community theater. I used to just do all kinds of skits and all kinds of sketches, like Saturday Night Live things at Girl Scout camps and all kinds of anywhere, USO appearances. I went to Korea 4 times, on 6-week tours. You know, I went over to the vet hospitals and entertained the men to gain experience. And then you go to every audition. There's a lot of rejection being in show business, so you have to be prepared for that. I think you really need an education in another career so you can always have something to fall back on when life becomes, when you can't have any money and there's no job. I think that's really important, and nobody ever told me that, so I like to pass that on.
Speaking of getting into the business, that leads right into this, Betty Jo, because I did want to ask Debbie, you probably follow the things that are going on with TV, and you mentioned the proliferation of television. I was wondering, have you followed American Idol since that has come into popularity? And I'm just curious, if they had something like that back in the day when you were breaking into the business, would you have done something like that? What are your impressions of American Idol? Is that a way for young people to get into the business?
Yes. If you can dance, if you can move, of course that would be a cinch. For me, that would have been a cinch. And it would have been fun, and it would have been easy, and I definitely would have won.
Okay,
you would have won.
The show is being kind of exploitive, you know, particularly because they do such a bad job of making fun of the people who aren't so talented. So it has a downside, too, but I was just curious what you thought. So I guess.
Well, that's what
that
I was
out,
saying.
Yeah.
You have to be ready for criticism because
there's
a downside. But there's all the criticism doesn't mean you have to quit and give up. You just become better.
That's right, and you certainly have carried on the tradition of performing, because, as you say, you're doing 42 live shows. I'm sure glad you are, because I just can't get enough of those live shows. I've only seen 2 of them, but I'd like to see at least 1 a month. What a great show you put on, Debbie. You've got the impressions, the anecdotes, the dialects that you do.
I was just in New York at the Carlisle Hotel, where jazz is, for 4 weeks, and I had a wonderful time. And I'm not coming to where James is, although if he can find me a job, I'll come right down to La Jolla.
we'll get you a job playing on the beach.
And where Gordon is in South Bend, Indiana. Get me a job there, I'll be right down.
You can come to Notre Dame.
That's right. Well, we'll have to get on the ball and get you.
Hey, Debbie's available. I have dance shoes, costumes. I'll be there.
You'll be there. That's great. Well, where are you playing next? I think I read on your website that you might be doing something in Las Vegas soon.
I'm going to South Point, which is a hotel there, in a week. I'll be there. And then I'm going to Laughlin, Nevada, over Thanksgiving, and then I'm coming into Chicago, and I'll be working there. I just finished there, the Drury Lane Theater, outside of Chicago, and I'm going to Australia again soon. So, and I'm working here in California at a local theater out here in Thousand Oaks. But, I mean, I just work anywhere. Anybody want me anywhere, I'll be right there.
Well, what was Todd said, if they open the refrigerator, you do a few numbers in front of the wife.
Open the door, I do 20 minutes, right.
20 minutes. That
we
is
we got some offbeat questions, Betty Jo, that are still available and coming in while we have
well,
the time.
Well, I was wondering about the chat, because we haven't asked Nikki what's happening in the chat, and if there are any questions or from the chat or comments that she'd like to share with us. Nikki? Nikki must be multitasking.
Nikki
or
is
maybe.
Multitasking. She lost her connection a couple of times. She's back in the chat right now. She had to take some sort of an emergency. The chat is jumping. There's a ton of people that came to listen to Debbie today.
Great.
Any questions at all? Just throw me a couple.
Well, actually, one of our big fans and one of the other popular hosts that used to be on Blog Talk Radio and big in politics, Ed Morrissey, wants to know if you're going to be in the Twin Cities anytime soon, out near Minneapolis, St. Paul in the Midwest there.
No, I don't have any dates, but if they can find a theater for me, I'll be right there.
Okay,
well,
Ed, heard it. Try to get something.
Ed has
up.
An assignment.
Okay. I'd love to be there. I have worked there before, but not right now. I don't have anything on my schedule this year, but I have worked there before, and it's a beautiful theater, beautiful place to work, and I would love to come.
Well, here's one kind of out of left field, then. What was your reaction to Shirley MacLaine's performance in Postcards from the Edge?
I thought it was great. I wanted the part.
I know. And you should have gotten it.
Well,
I mean,
Carrie wrote this part supposedly about me, which it wasn't, but, you know, everybody thought it was. So I said, look, everybody's going to think it is me. I might as well play it. But Mike Nichols says that no, he wanted Shirley, so Shirley got to do it. She was wonderful. I thought she was great. It really isn't me. Luckily, I don't have that disease as far as alcoholism. I'm delighted because then I can have a drink once in a while. if you have the disease, you can't. So I'm fortunate that I don't have that problem. But I thought it was a very funny picture, and I thought Carrie did a great job, wrote it. She's a great writer, Carrie. And like I said, she's opening next week on Broadway, so it's called Wishful Drinking, which is pretty funny. And I'm praying that it'll be a big hit.
Well, there you go, Jane. You can open the bar when we all come to California.
Okay. All right, I'm coming to La Jolla. We're going to have drinks on the beach.
Yeah, we'll have them on the beach.
Thank
you. We'll get arrested because they don't allow it. But
then we'll just sip wine around your patio.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, Carrie was hilarious in 30 Rock, too. That was funny.
Oh, Carrie on 30
she
Rock,
got
she got an
there.
Emmy.
Yeah, she was hilarious.
Emmy nomination.
Well, she is a very talented girl. She takes after her mother.
and maybe she can take care of her mother when her mother gets tired of all this work that she's doing.
Well, that's tomorrow, so she better get work fast.
Oh, golly. I wonder, I know you said we could ask you anything. I kind of hesitate to ask this, but I have heard you talk about this before to a room full of 700 people, so I thought that I would dare to ask, because I just think you have the most humorous and healthy attitude about the former men in your life.
Let's not get R-rated here.
No, we won't. Not with Debbie. We won't get R-rated.
Well, no, unfortunately, I think a lot of actresses have that problem. You know, the men can't take the women that are kind of famous and more than they, and it's really difficult for them. And so it winds up to be unsuccessful mergers. And also, when they leave, they take all the money, which is sort of depressing.
That's the. And
oh my God.
You've just in spite of that, you have managed to soldier on and then make some of these many examples in your wonderful shows. Because I remember.
Oh yes, I
was all in stitches.
Yes, I tease them a great deal, and I call them all kinds of names, and the word schmuck comes into mind, but you can't say that on television, so, or radio. But I do not have good taste in men, and so I just leave it alone now. I don't even go out, you know, I don't date, I don't do, but I have a lot of great male friends, and my brother's wonderful, my son is wonderful. I love men. It's just that I seem to have an allergy to attracting men that want to take all my money. So I've decided I just can't afford it anymore. It's like a sale at Macy's. I can't have it.
Well, there goes the next question from the chat, Betty Jo. She's not available for dating guys, so you can stop asking. There was one more good one that came up, and I think we have just enough time.
Do have another call, too, Jazz,
I
kind
of
like to get in first and hold that thought while I think it might be Gloria Walters, Debbie's number one fan, I think. But I think that I am that, so I'm jealous of her. Is that you, Gloria? Hello? Hello, Gloria, are you on the line? Well, we must be having technical difficulty. So go ahead, Jazz, with the questions that you wanted to ask.
Yeah, and this also came up in the chat earlier. You've done every type of work there is in performance. And between live work, like on the stage, and recorded work doing film and television, do you have a preference for one or the other? Does one give you more of a thrill or more satisfaction than the other between live and doing recorded production work?
Well, I love live is very self-satisfying and exciting, and that's what I prefer. But film is forever. And once you're on film, it's for every generation to see, just like Singing in the Rain and movies that I've made, about 60 movies. They're forever, and so you get to live on, whereas live is live that night, and then it's over. So I would say my preference is split down the middle. I mean, I like to do both. Right now, all I'm doing is live. I'm appearing everywhere in Denver and Chicago and Vegas and all over Laughlin, Nevada.
It still seems like on television people can catch your movies pretty much on any given day, and if anybody is going to live forever, it's you.
Thank you, and I hope that I don't want to live forever because at a certain age, everything hurts, and so you'll just let it retire. But enjoying the fact that people do like my movies. I really love that. And I did love Mother, and I bought all those costumes from Singing in the Rain and all those great movies. I own them all, Mutiny on the Bounty and all those great films, and Jimmy Stewart and Grace Kelly and Barbara Streisand and, these are all Charlie Chaplin, Laurel and Hardy. So I'm trying to save all the old movie stars' memorabilia and keep them living forever.
Did you get anything from Patton?
Yes, I did. His general's costume.
Holy cow, fantastic.
Great. And the ruby slippers. Now, are those the original ruby slippers?
Or of course.
Wow. When I saw them in your Las Vegas museum, I just had to keep going back and looking at them. And then I was tempted to sneak in when the museum closed and, you know, try to figure out a way to get them and just bring them in home and hide them.
Yeah, that's what happens with a lot. That's why you can't send your things out to tour, because people steal them. And it's strange how people will steal something and just stick it in the closet because they feel, well, now it's mine and I'll save it. But it's really meant for all the people. It's meant for the public. And that's what I saved for the public. I want the fans to see it. And that's what I intend to do.
One of your other faves here, by the way, from the chat, since Nikki lost her cell phone, apparently, insists that we get in a vote. Our friend Fossa said that she really loved you in The Unsinkable Molly Brown.
Well, that was my favorite role to play. I know Singing in the Rain was most popular, but Unthinkable Molly Brown was the best part, since I didn't get
to... And you received an Oscar nomination for that, too.
Yes, I did, and should have won.
Yes, you should have. I thought so.
I thought so.
What's your favorite music? Was that, what was your favorite musical number from that, from the Unthinkable Molly Brown, Debbie?
Well, there was a song called He's My Friend and He'll Stay My Friend. Oh, you know, I ain't down yet, which means I never give up. And there was some wonderful tunes in the show. It was just a really Americana film, and I thought it was quite rewarding. And The Tender Trap was very good with Frank Sinatra. And then Dominique, Nika, Nika, son de la du son plimo. The Singing Nun was a good picture, and people liked that.
See, and those are the days that we got the big musicals, and today what do we get? Mamma Mia.
Oh, don't make fun of that. That was we take what we can get in the musicals.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite leading? Who was your favorite leading man, Debbie?
Oh, I loved them all, really. You know, Jimmy Stewart, Jack Lemmon, Glenn Ford.
Oh, Glenn Ford! Wow.
Frank
and the
Sinatra.
Gazebo.
And Glenn Ford was with me in three different films, and I loved Dick Van Dyke, and I really liked everybody I worked with.
Did you stay in touch with them over the years after those projects were done? Were you guys all pretty close?
Well, Jimmy Stewart and Glenn Ford, yes. Dick Van Dyke is sort of quiet and lives at the beach, and I don't see him as often as I would like to. I think he's wonderful. Carl Reiner is a good friend of mine, and he lives closer. Gary Marshall, the producer, is closer. You know, certain friends I see that are easier to, that live closer, that aren't reclusive. Some people are reclusive, you know, and like to be by themselves, so you don't want to bother them.
Right. Well, Debbie, I can't believe that our time is almost up, and I have one question that I really like to ask all of our guests, but especially you, and that's, what's the most important thing you want people to know about you and your work?
Well, I think everybody knows everything about me because I've been in the business 62 years now, and they all know Princess Leia, my daughter, Carrie Fisher. They all know I have a son. They don't know I have three stepchildren that I still take care of and look after. And I work for mental health called the Thalians. We're giving our big ball honoring Mickey Rooney this year on November 1st. And I've worked really hard for 54 years. We've raised over $38 million for that. And I'm really a very socially active person in my community. And in the AIDS division, I've worked very hard for that. And I think everybody must give to others, do for others, do what it says in the Bible, or any philosophy at all. As long as you can believe in others and help others and don't just do for yourself, you'll be a happier person.
That's a wonderful philosophy. You have been so candid, so gracious. You have just been a great guest, Debbie. And I want to thank you not only for being here, but for the pleasure you've given your fans with your splendid performances. And
well, I expect a letter now with all the addresses of how to get to La Jolla.
La Jolla!
And, James and Jazz, and I have to have all these addresses because my daughter's in New York. I have to write Carrie and have her call you, Jazz, so she has some young friend there. So I just have to follow through on all this now.
Well, Debbie,
right.
I'm
pretty sad at my age
when
I'm the young person in the room. Oh, jeez.
We only have one minute left, and we just I hope that we can have you back again when you're not so busy just doing so many, many things. But we love the fact that you are busy, and we love you very, very much. And so,
thank you
all of you, and thank you for caring about the movies. It's very important. Thanks for having me on. I had a lot of fun.
We had a great time, and I want to ask the listeners to please come back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, when our guest will be Carrington Payne, one of the exciting young stars of Fame, which is an update of the popular 1980 movie musical, which opens on September 25th. Now, as usual, to close the show, here's A.J. Daniels with a song we dedicate to our Blog Talk Radio listeners, and today especially to America's entertainer extraordinaire, the great Debbie Reynolds.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.